Glory to God. Well, the Lord has confirmed something in my heart. That is that today we're going to celebrate the birth of the babe in Bethlehem, but we're not going to look into the manger. We're going to look at the right hand of the Father, because that's where He is now. He's not in the manger anymore. Glory to God. He's sitting at the seat of power at the right hand of God's throne. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The Word of God says that all power was given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it Himself. He said, all the power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Paul said that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not because He was a babe in Bethlehem, but because He's seated today at the seat of authority, the right hand of God Almighty. That says to me and ought to say to you, if all authority is given unto Him, then He can do whatsoever He pleases. Do you think that's right? And the best part about that is He's already told us what He pleases to do. He's told us right here. He's not a capricious God that's going around doing one thing here and another thing here and doing what He decides to do on the spur of the moment. He has already decided what He wants to do. He's already decided what He's going to do. He's already decided what His desire is and what His will is, and He's preserved it here for you and for me in black and white. If you're here this morning, and you need this God to do something for you, that which He's declared He will already do for you, He'll do for you today. If you don't know God today, if you're lost, you don't have God in your life, you don't have the peace of God in your life, you're operating in fear or confusion or doubt, God will minister to you today eternal life, the most precious gift that any person can ever receive. But that's only the beginning. Glory to God. He purchased for us everlasting life, but He purchased for us so much more. The Word of God says that we are joint heirs with Jesus, heirs to the complete inheritance that God gave the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a need today from God, I wish that you would just signify that by just lifting your right hand. If you're here today and you have a need, would you raise your right hand and let the Lord know that you need something from Him today? Just put your hand up and let Him just hold it there for a moment till He can see it, all right? God knows what your need is. All right, now you may put your hand down. Now, how many of you believe, who had your hands up, that God not only saw your hand, but also knows your heart and knows what that meant when you raised your hands? All right, now you may lower your hands. All right, now we're going to pray, but before we do, I want to ask you, give you an opportunity just to release your faith. How many of you believe that as we pray, that God is going to hear our prayer, that He's going to not only know your need, but that He's going to answer it and meet it for you? Let me see your uplifted right hand. All right, now that's your expression of faith. All right, God's Word says this. Through the lips of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter and the 24th verse, Jesus Christ, God's own Son, said these words, whatsoever things ye desire. That's pretty broad, isn't it? Whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. When you pray, believe that you receive them. You don't believe when you got it, you believe when you pray. When you do your praying, you believe. Why do you believe when you pray? Because you believe that God has the power, the ability, the desire, and the willingness to meet that need. Therefore, the Word of God is just as good for you as the manifestation of your answer, because you know that God will perform His Word. You know that God will bring His Word to pass. And if He said He'll heal you, then you'll have your healing. If He said He'll prosper you, then you'll have your prosperity. If He said He would answer your prayer, then you know according to His Word that you'll have it. Therefore, when you pray, you release your faith right then and you believe then. Even though you may not see it yet in the natural. You may not see it yet in the physical. You don't have it manifested yet in your life. Jesus of Nazareth says, they're going to crucify me. But on the third day, I'm going to rise. Why do you suppose He said that? Because He believed it. Why do you suppose He rose from the dead? Because He knew He would, glory to God. Because He believed He would and He spoke it. Whatsoever things ye desire then, beloved, when you pray, believe that you receive it and ye shall have it. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not my words. That's His words. I can't make it good, but bless the Lord God, He will make it good. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Don't be like most believers. Most believers are not believers at all. Most believers are doubters. And that's why they never receive very much from God. Because they pray and then it doesn't happen right away. And it's, whoa, what, I miss it somewhere. Or he didn't know what he was talking about. Or God doesn't want to do that for me. Well, you'll never get anything from God that way. You won't get saved that way. You won't get filled with the Holy Spirit that way. You won't get healed in your relationships that way, nor in your body. You won't be prospered that way. None of the blessings of God come by sight. They come only by faith. That's what Jesus is talking about. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. All right, as we're praying now, you've released your faith by raising your hand. You said that God's going to meet your needs. I believe with you. And as we pray, you just allow your faith to flow, believing God that what we're asking for, that you are receiving. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, said, if you'll do that, ye shall have them. You'll have what you believe for. Amen? Just this week, I was driving along in my car and just meditating on some things, and I thought, you know, the Christian church generally is a product of what it believes. And we are a product of what we have grown up to believe. We're receiving, you see, what we're believing for. For years and years and years, we believed that God healed a few people occasionally when He wanted to. And what did we receive? A few healings occasionally when we thought God wanted to. That's exactly what we got, didn't we? Huh? That's not what He said in here, though, is it? He says He's no respecter of persons. He's absolutely no respecter of persons. If He healed the lepers, He's got to heal you if you'll do the same thing the leper did. If He caused the blind to regain their sight, then He'll heal you if you'll do the same thing the blind man did. Unfortunately, we're believing that maybe God will. Maybe He will. And then we don't receive it. Where are we missing it? We're not believing God. We're not believing. We're a product. We're receiving what it is that we're believing for. So today, I don't want you to believe what you're doubting God for. I want you to believe for what God has promised here. This is what He said He'll do. And He'll do it if you'll believe Him for it. How would you just bow your heads and close your eyes and let's go before God in prayer, standing upon His Word. Heavenly Father, we come before You not in our own name nor in our own righteousness, but we come before You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come in His righteousness. We know, Father, that by Your Word, that He has right standing with You, and because we're in Him, we also have that same right standing. Therefore, we come before You, Father, not arrogantly, but yet boldly, because You said we should approach Your throne of grace boldly, that we should have boldness and confidence in Him whom we have believed. So we come before You, our Father, this morning boldly and with confidence that not only do You hear us, but that You will give answer to the requests that we've made of You. We come into your presence, Father, with thanksgiving and with praise and with joyous rejoicing upon our lips for that which you have done in us, for the light which has come into the world. We thank you, Father, that we have been partakers of that light and of that life which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because we're in him, we shall never, ever die. Father, we thank you for your invitation to bring our petitions and our prayers and our supplications before you. We know, Father, that you care for us with an even greater care than our earthly fathers have cared for us. You know us, Father, from the inside out, and you know every need. You know that we have needs, Father, that we're not even conscious of. But Lord, today, there are some things in our lives, Father, that we have need of a move of God. For we know, Father, that you are the answer to all of the problems of life. And I know, Father, that the world calls that Pollyanna. The world takes a very cynical view of the fact that we say that Jesus Christ is the answer. But we're not moved by what the world thinks. We're not moved by what the world says. We are only moved by what we believe, and we're moved by what you said in your word. Therefore, we acknowledge, Father, that Jesus is, in fact, the answer to every problem, every unfortunate circumstance that confronts us. He is the answer. We thank you, Father, that in him are hidden everything that we require for life and for happiness. We ask you, Father, today, in that name of Jesus Christ, to look upon us as your children, to know why we raised our hands, and to see and perceive what that need is, Father, that we have in our life. Now we say to you, Father, that we are going to trust you to meet these needs. We're not going to adapt and develop all sorts of alternate plans in case you don't come through. If you don't come through, Lord, these needs aren't going to be met, because we're putting our total confidence, we're putting our total trust, we're putting our total dependence on you and on your word. You said that Jesus Christ of Nazareth took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You said that Jesus carried all of our sicknesses and our diseases for us, that you laid our illnesses upon him. Therefore, we refuse to carry illness and sickness and disease. We refuse to carry the tokens of darkness. We refuse to carry the works of iniquity in our bodies in the name of Jesus. And right now we speak to them in that mighty name. We command you to flee, illness, flee the body of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, now in his name. We'll not bear what he already bore for us. And Father, we reach out to you today and we receive wholeness in our bodies. We receive wholeness in our spirits. We receive wholeness in our minds and our souls. We receive wholeness, Father, in our relationships. We receive wholeness, Father, in our finances and in our jobs and our vocations. We receive wholeness, Father, in our marriages and in our families. We receive wholeness in every area of our life. And as we pray, we believe that we have received that which we are asking you for today. Father, we be not selfish children. We be not self-centered children. We be concerned, however, Father, that we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our spirit as well as in our body. We desire to be, Father, and to walk every minute of every day totally free from any of the stain of the enemy, any of his works, that the light of Jesus Christ may shine unhindered in us. Father, having believed that we receive for ourselves today, we intercede now for others. We intercede, first of all, Father, for the lost, those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning in our own families, extending on out, Father, into our neighborhoods, into the county in which we live, and into the entire world. We pray, Father, for the continued outpouring, even a greater outpouring of this latter rain of your Spirit, that it would touch every bit of flesh to the four corners of the earth, Father, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be heard by every living soul. We pray, Father, for those that are religious today but not born again. We pray for those that are in churches today, Father, because it's the Christmas season, who do not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. They know Him as a historical babe. We pray, Father, this morning for those that are doing good works in their churches, who are tithing and who are teaching Sunday schools and who are operating as deacons and, yes, even elders and pastors, Father, who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, who have not been regenerated and renewed by the power of your Spirit, who have not perceived and received the simple gospel of Jesus, to believe on Him and to humble themselves before Him, surrendering and receiving His life into their spirits. We pray, Father, for religious people. And we ask you today, Father, that through this season, that you would cause that veil of unbelief and that veil of tradition and doctrine to be torn, Father, even yet from the top to the bottom, to be ripped in two, so that the light of your gospel may shine through and shine upon their hearts. Would be a shame, Father, for a man to serve the church all of his life and not make heaven because he hadn't believed on Jesus simply as a child. Lord, we don't want that to happen to a single soul, and we pray for those today. We pray for our nation today, Father, and those that are in leadership, and we ask for your wisdom to be released in them, that they may lead us in a godly way, and that there be peace in the land and, yea, throughout the whole world, that your gospel may be preached without hindrance in every corner of this globe. We pray today, Father, for this work right here, the Water of Life Ministry. We thank you, Father, for the way that you have blessed it. We thank you for the way that your anointing flows so freely in it. We thank you, Father, for the freedom and the liberty that we have in worship. We thank you for the manifestation of your presence every time we gather. We thank you and praise you and bless you, Father. And let us, Father, never take for granted that which you have given us here. Let us never take for granted, Father, the glorious privilege and opportunity you've given us to join with you here in partnership in the work of this ministry. In Jesus' name, our Father, we thank you for your presence in our very lives, that you lead us and guide us and direct us every minute by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your promise that our steps do not slide, that the steps of good men and women are ordered by the Lord. Thank you, Father, that you pick up each foot and put it down where you want it to go as we humbly yield to your guidance in our lives. We bless you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for the answers to these petitions. We believe that we receive that which we've asked you for today. We give you our thanks and our praise for it. In Jesus' holy name. Now, if you're in the congregation and you believe that God has answered our prayers, I just want you to lift both hands before the Lord, just as an offering of praise to Him, saying by your uplifted hand, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, not only for meeting my needs, but for meeting the needs of my brothers and sisters who are here in the auditorium today. Thank you, Father, for meeting the needs of the local ministry here. Thank you, Father, for meeting the needs of our governing leaders. And thank you, Father, for answering each petition and prayer which has gone up here today. For we pray them in the name of Jesus according to your word. We believe we receive them and thank you for them. In Jesus' holy name, amen. It is very important that as you pray, when you pray your own private prayers, that you receive what God's giving, that you receive the answer to your prayer, that you begin to thank the Lord for that which you haven't seen yet, that you praise Him and thank Him for the answer as yet unmanifested in accordance with His Word. When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. That's the way it works. How many of you, I don't want you to raise your hands, but I just want to, as we were singing here, this kept going through my mind, I want to ask you a question. Have you sensed, and when I say sense, I mean, are you aware, definitely aware, have you had a manifestation of the presence of God's Holy Spirit in the auditorium today? Have you personally felt the presence of God? Now, don't raise your hands. Don't shake your heads. I just want you to answer that for yourself. Have you personally sensed the presence of Almighty God in the service today? Has He touched you? Now, I want to say to you that if you could not say yes, it is not because He's not here. He is here. And the Word of God says that our God is no respecter of persons. And I just feel impressed to say to you that if you have not been touched with the personal presence of God today, that the way to draw the way to have God draw close to you is to draw close to Him. The Word says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. A lot of folks will come into a service like this, and they'll sit there in the chair, you know, or they'll stand there, and they, in their heart, they're saying, oh, gee, I would like for God to touch me. I'd like to really have a manifestation of God. But they're so tight that if the Lord would ever touch them, that it would jump out of their skin. The Word of God says that God inhabits or dwells in the praises and the worship of His people. I find in my own personal life, and I believe those of you that have received God's touch this morning would concur, that the way to have a manifestation of God's personal presence, I'm not talking about, yes, I know He's here because His Word says He would be. I'm talking about a personal touch from the living God. The way to enter into that kind of a realm is to just let yourself go. Worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. When the invitation is given to lift your hands in worship to God, do so. Let yourself enter into that place where God is. God inhabits the praises of His people. And if your praise is kind of like this, you don't have very much there, you see, for God to inhabit. There's not much there for Him to live in. I find that myself personally, as we're praising the Lord in the services, when I just let it go and just really begin to love God. Those of you that are married, you know how to love one another. And you know that the way you'll really receive the real good stuff, I'm talking about that sweet love that comes from your wife or from your husband. The only way you really tap into that sweet stuff is by giving of the best you've got. Is that not right? And don't those of you that are husbands and wives, don't you respond in the same way when your mate is really delivering on that love, so to speak? Doesn't that cause you to just let go and respond to him or to her? It's easy to respond then, isn't it? But it's the same way in our relationship to God. The only difference is God's a much better lover than any of us have ever known here in the natural. And if we will just love Him, I mean, I love you, Father. Oh, I love you, Lord. God, I worship you. I praise you. And I don't really care what you think about this, friend, but I'm loving God. I love you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I worship you. Come on, get in here with me. Now, it's good. Thank you. Oh, bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, that's, you see, when the Spirit of God begins to, whoo, that's when the Lord is beginning to give you that good stuff, you see. And so that's the way it's done. Now, I've done my part. Now, I've told you how, and I've instructed you how, And I've shown you by not only by precept, but by example. Well, that's the way. Anytime you come into one of these services, if you're not touched personally and intimately by a loving Heavenly Father who delights in ministering to you, it's not because He wasn't here, and it's not because He was not in the loving business that morning or that night. It's because you weren't letting go and just worshiping Him. There's something freeing about lifting your hands and letting your voice go. Something happens on the inside of you. Now, those of us that grew up as Baptists and Presbyterians and Catholics and Episcopalians and heathens, we're not used to going like that, you see, to the Lord. But that's where the liberty is. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And if you will allow yourself to worship the Lord in that way, then this God that I'm telling you about this morning will manifest Himself to you in a way that you've never known before, in a way that you've never experienced before. If you want to know the honest truth, after growing up 37 years in a traditional church, then meeting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, being filled with His Holy Spirit, and worshiping Him in the liberty of the Spirit for the last 4 years. I'll tell you how old I am. Won't I? The kids will get it. Yeah. Those of you that have been out of school a while won't be able to get that, but the kids will pick it up. Frankly, I don't know why, really, why people faithfully go to church every week where there's no liberty of the Spirit, where there's no move of God, where there's no touch of the presence and the power of God. Once He's touched you with His love, you'll never settle for anything less than that. Amen? Amen. Well, it's Christmas time. That means it's time for the story about the little baby, the precious little baby child. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter number 2. I'm going to read this morning the familiar Christmas story, and then we let the Spirit of God lead us as He wills. Before we read this story, though, would you just have a word of prayer with me concerning the ministry of the Word? Heavenly Father, we pause before the ministry of the Word to tell you, Father, that we want to proclaim what You want shared today. We want to hear from You today, Father. We know that every word that's in this book is breathed by You. It's all profitable, but we know that there are some special words that You have for us today that You'd speak to us, cause to come alive by the power of the Holy Spirit today. I thank You, Father, that when You called me to preach Your Word, You put Your anointing inside me to do so. I thank You, Father, today for the assurance and the confidence that that which I speak will be that which is given of me by the Holy Ghost. And I yield myself unto You, Father, body, soul, and spirit, to be used as an instrument of Yours today. For we desire to have the ministry of the Spirit among us. I ask You, Father, that You would cause Your anointing to rest upon the ears and the hearts of the hearers. Help us, Father, to lay aside every other care and every other concern, for there really isn't anything else that matters save You and Your glorious message. Cause our hearts to be open and our minds to be open today by the power of Your Holy Spirit to receive that which You have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Is it curious to you that Luke is the only gospel writer that records the events surrounding the birth of Jesus? Matthew does not record them. Mark does not record them. John does not record them. Luke alone records the birth of Jesus, records the manger at Bethlehem, records the cry of the angel, records the coming of the shepherds unto the manger scene that night to see what God had spoken to them. It strikes me as curious. But then I think about something that every single gospel writer describes in great detail. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to a man, describe in great detail the crucifixion. Why is it that only one writer would record the birth, but all four would record the crucifixion? This is Christmas. We celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for a Christian, the birth of the Lord Jesus is only one aspect in the plan that God has for man. The whole world today is aware of the birth of the man Jesus in Nazareth. But I'm going to tell you something, that if there was no cross, no one would ever remember the manger. If there was no sepulcher, no one would remember the Star of Bethlehem. If there was no Calvary, nobody would remember Bethlehem. If there was no grave, nobody would ever remember the swaddling clothes. If there was no resurrection, nobody would ever remember that there wasn't any room for them in the inn. Why is Christmas an important event? Is it because a baby was born? No. No. Is it because a virgin conceived and had gave birth? No. Not in on and by itself. Christmas is important because the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, came and became flesh. Now let me tell you something about the birth of the Lord Jesus. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Many Christians don't consider this truth. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter. Beginning to read at the fifth verse, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, that is, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Why does Jesus have a name which is higher than any other name? Is it because he was born in Bethlehem? No. It's because he was raised from the death on Calvary. That's why he has that name. I want you to see something about the birth of Jesus. Paul says something a little different here about the coming of the Christ child. He says that Jesus was in the form of God. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I want to say to you today that Jesus, the Son of God, was not born on Christmas Day. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was never born. He always existed with God from the beginning, and he will always exist with God to the end. Now, it is true that there was a baby born that day on Christmas Day. And yes, it is Jesus, the man. But Jesus did not come into existence that moment. Jesus was in existence with God the Father from the beginning. The Word of God says that He made all of the worlds, and without Him was not anything made. He made the manger that He was born in. He made the donkeys that brayed over Him while His mother was giving birth. He made the shepherds who came and gave praise. He made the gold that was given as an offering to Him. In the book of Revelation, the very first chapter, He spoke to the man John, the apostle. He says, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the first and I am the last. I'm not the baby in Bethlehem. I am the eternal God. I was from the beginning, and I shall be even at the end. Yes, I took upon myself flesh, and I became like a man on Christmas in Bethlehem. But I have been eternally existent from before and to after, from the beginning and to the end. What do we celebrate at Christmas time? We celebrate God coming to the earth. We not celebrate the birth of a baby. We celebrate the coming of God to do for us what we could not do. Now, it's unfortunate that many of the people in the world, even many church people and many Christians, do not understand or comprehend the impact of the Christmas event, the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Savior. Turn over to the book of Revelation with me. To the fifth chapter. We have under our Christmas trees, many of us, a manger scene. We see in the newspapers, we see in the department stores, manger scenes reminiscent of the story that we read from the Gospel of Luke. But unless we see beyond that manger scene, Christmas is nothing more than a nice, gooey, gushy, sentimental holiday. Unless we see beyond the manger at Bethlehem, Christmas has no eternal significance. I believed, beloved, I believed in the babe at Bethlehem all my life. I believed in that little baby that was born in Bethlehem that day. I believed the story that I just read to you out of the Gospel of Luke. I really believed with all of my heart that God had come and that He took upon Himself the form of flesh and was born in a manger at Bethlehem. I believed all that. But I did not believe Revelation 5. Are you with me? And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth." And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every Lamb which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Who were they worshiping? Were they worshiping the babe at Bethlehem? No, no, no. They're worshiping the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. They're worshiping the one who died on the cross. They're worshiping the one who healed the sick. They're worshiping the one that raised the dead. They're worshiping the one that cast out devils. They're worshiping the one that sent Peter down to get money out of the mouth of a fish. They're worshiping the one that could not be kept in the grave. They're worshiping the one who, by the power of God, had the stone rolled away and came out of the grave, resurrected alive. They're worshiping the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You've heard it say, "Where does the lion sleep? He sleeps any place he pleases to sleep." And that's the way it is with our Jesus Christ. He's no longer the babe at Bethlehem. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion is the king of all the beasts. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's why they're saying hallelujah. That's why they're saying blessing and glory and honor, praise and worship unto our King, for he is the Lion of Judah. He has triumphed, you see. Praise and glory be unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 I tell you, if you do not know the Christ who is right now at the right hand of the Father God, the babe at Bethlehem is absolutely meaningless to you. If you do not know the Christ that bore your sins on Calvary, if you don't know the Christ that took your sicknesses and your diseases, if you do not know the Christ personally who defeated the powers of darkness in the pits of hell and is risen again, if you don't know the Christ, the Jesus, who is seated today at the right hand of God the Father, Christmas is a farce for you. It is absolutely of no eternal value. It may make you feel nice and gooey on the inside, but it won't do anything for you eternally. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he said, if Christ be not risen, in other words, if he's not alive, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you're yet in your sins. If Jesus Christ is not alive today, we are above all men to be most pitied. And I want you to know today that it is not the babe at Bethlehem that delivers you out of your sin. It's not the babe at Bethlehem that brings peace. Yes, the angels came and they sang to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill among men. But that peace and that goodwill only came to fruition through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His victorious resurrection. You must look beyond the babe at Bethlehem. You must look beyond the manger. You must look beyond that beautiful Christmas story. You must look beyond and see the crown of thorns. You must look beyond and see the stripes that were laid on His back. You must look beyond and see the spit that was hurled at Him. You must look beyond and see Him hanging on the cross, bleeding for you. You must see Him in the pits of hell, suffering for you and for me. And then you must see Him alive. Hallelujah. You must see Him raised from the dead. You must see Him seated in glory on the right hand of God the Father. That's why you only see the Christmas story once. But you see the death, the burial, and the resurrection four times. Paul didn't preach the birth of Jesus. He preached His substitutionary sacrificial death. He preached His resurrection. He preached His glorious kingly reign. That's what all the rest of the New Testament is all about. Unfortunately, so much of the world, even much of the Christian world, has never seen beyond the manger. You need to see what we have here? This hangs here all the time. That's not a manger, is it? It's not a baby doll, is it? It's an ugly cross. It's emblematic of the mission and the ministry of our God who came and became flesh for you and me, knowing full well that He would have to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The baby in the manger will not save you. The baby in the manger will not heal you. The baby in the manger will not deliver you. It's the risen, alive, glorified Jesus, the one that hung here but isn't there anymore. Hallelujah. It's the one, you see, that's seated on the right hand of the Father at the seat and the throne of power and of glory. Now, this message is important enough for God to speak it to us this morning supernaturally, isn't it? That's what He said earlier, wasn't it? Through the gift of tongues and interpretation. He said to look beyond the babe at Bethlehem and look to the risen, glorified Christ. To me, that is the message of Christmas. He's alive. He's alive. Did you hear what the choir sang when we came in this morning? He's alive. Because he's alive, I can live. That's the story. Glory to God, that's the story. Now, we remember when he came. We remember when he came. And it's important. And I only mean to put it in perspective. Because I love Christmas as much as anyone. And if there were no Christmas, there'd be no resurrection. And so I don't mean to take it out of perspective. I want to put it into perspective for you. Our Jesus is not a baby. He was a baby once. But he's a king forever. He's a glorious king forever. Now and forevermore. He was only a baby one time. You get that? He's a king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Blessed potentate. Hallelujah. I like that one. Paul said he's blessed potentate. I like that. Potentate. That just sounds good. Good. Do you know what? I'm his brother. I'm his brother. And everything that he's got belongs to me too. And everything that he's got belongs to you. If you are a child of God, a brother, or a sister of the Lord Jesus Christ. King of kings, Lord of lords. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life today, I invite you to make him Lord. He's the Lord of everything. One day you'll have to bow before him and say, Lord. It can either be a joyous occasion or it can be one of great remorse. It'll be joyous if you bow to him in this life. Remorse if you wait until the next. I invite you to receive Jesus, this alive, blessed, glorious, loving Christ, as your Savior and as the Lord of your life today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of Christmas, that Jesus Christ, eternal God, the Alpha, has become flesh, dwelt among us for a limited time, for a short time, that we might behold him and know the glory of God, that we might see the power of God. We thank you, our Father, that he was obedient even unto death, that he died for us, that he that knows him should never die. We confess before you today, our Father, that Jesus is the resurrection and he is the life, that he that believeth on him, though he be dead, yet shall he live. I pray, Father, for every person who's under the sound of my voice, everyone who does not know Jesus personally. Now, Father, we know how easy it is for the devil to deceive. And many believe that they know Jesus, but never have met him personally. Father, if there be a person under the sound of my voice who has not been regenerated by your Holy Spirit, who does not really know Jesus intimately, is not saved, I ask you, Father, to show him that by your Spirit. You said that the Holy Spirit would come and reprove and convict of sin because they know not Jesus. We know that it's only by your Spirit, Father, that that can happen. And I ask you to do it even now as we pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want every eye to remain closed and every head to be bowed. And I want to say to you today, if there be someone in this auditorium that does not know for sure that they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation, that they truly have been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they really have made heaven their home, if you're such a one, if you're not absolutely sure, and you want to take Jesus today as your Savior and as the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you just to slip your hand into the air. Just raise your hand where God can see it. Is there anyone? If you're not sure, don't let this opportunity pass. I want every eye closed. On the back row also. You want to make this your day for Jesus, just slip your hand into the air. All right. Father, we thank you for the victory that you've given us in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that He is alive, that we do not worship a dead Savior, but one who is alive, seated at the power place. We thank you that in Him, our Father, we have complete, absolute, total victory in Jesus. We give you our thanks today in His name. Amen.